It is 10 minutes after 12 o'clock on this Tuesday afternoon. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. And thanks very much for that. John Najarian is on the line from CNBC, of course, and at Option Monster. If you follow him on Twitter, as I do. John, welcome to the Business Lunch. I'm sorry, John, how about now? There we go.
Yep, great to be with you, Stephen. Thank you.
And, you know, so let's start, where everyone starts these days, and talking about the situation in Paris and the situation with ISIS. And, you know, I was reading ahead of the trading early Monday morning that they thought that there might not be a big drop on Monday, but lo and behold, there was a big rise, a couple of hundred points, and here we are today. The Dow is up now about, 75 points or so, but it was up more than 100 points earlier today. Why is it that there wasn't a negative reaction on Wall Street to what happened in Paris?
I think had we been, Stephen, at higher levels of the market, obviously the market is gyrating back and forth up until now, primarily on what the Fed might do at their December meeting. I mean, absent any other inputs, that's one of the primary drivers right now for market sentiment and for the direction of the market. It's been that way basically since they did not move back in March, that each Fed meeting we've been on pins and needles to see whether that's the one that the Fed will move at. So we had come down from a little over 2,100 just before these horrible attacks in Paris, and we were down, you know, basically at the lows of maybe the last 30 days or so, and now we've pushed back up, just as you said, towards the resistance level on the upside. We've gone from, let's call it 2,120 all the way down to 100 points lower than that, right around 2,030 or so. And now we've rebounded back towards that resistance, which is more or less up at 2,080 for the S&P 500. All that said, I think the reason we didn't sell off further was that there seemed to be a coordinated effort to go after at least one of the sources of this terrorist attack, that is the folks that came through with ISIS. And as far as homegrown terrorists and so forth, that's going to be a completely different story as to how they deal with that.
Yeah, you know, you hear all the time that the one thing the markets hate is uncertainty, and it just seemed to me that this was a pretty big moment of uncertainty.
True, very true. And I think the fact that you know, Mr. Putin had gone from a pariah to basically the main point person for fighting over there and had been actually proved, I guess, right in the way that he had gone after these guys with a very heavy hand, which is likely to get heavier still if we're to take him at his word based on the jet that was bombed out of Sharm el-Sheikh. The Russian jet, Metrojet, I believe it was called, that came out of Sharm el-Sheikh, and the Russians now agree with British intelligence that it was a bomber on board that triggered that disaster. Mr. Putin says he is going to hit very hard, so I think the combination of Putin of Russia and, of course, Hollande of France saying that they are, you know, that the gloves are off, that this is war, I think that is another reason that the markets, rather than selling off, we're actually reacting to the idea of going after people in a very harsh way.
All right, let's go to the big box stores because earnings today for Walmart and Home Depot, nice, as I recall. And Lowe's was reporting today as well, right? Did Lowe's report too?
Lowe's due to report as well, and they came out with numbers that were reacting the same way that Home Depot was. Home Depot had about a 4.5-5% gain after they announced their numbers, and Lowe's is right here up against its 52-week high as well. Home Depot holding on to a 4% plus gain, and Lowe's over 3.5%. And as you say, the strong numbers out of Walmart as well, which was one of the companies that had warned just a couple of weeks previous about how much they had been hurt by online shopping, came out and beat the adjusted earnings by 2 cents, came out on the almost matching on the revenue side, and even their guidance was not as weak as they had implied several weeks ago, which tells us perhaps that maybe it was just, as they had said back then, a combination of weather that had impacted when you have as big a sales on a quarterly basis as Walmart has. They basically sell in a quarter or in a month what Home Depot sells in a year. It's pretty amazing the amount of revenue that goes through there, and obviously what could get cut back when they have weather issues that either keep customers out of the stores, which was not the case, or a lack of that weather driver of switching over from summer and fall into winter gear, which hasn't kicked in a big way across the country yet.
We got about a minute and a half, but before I get a stock tip, consumer prices were up 0.2 of a point, the government reported today. That means there is no way possible that the Fed doesn't raise interest rates next month. Correct, John and Jerry?
I can't say that.
It's certain. It's finally set in stone.
Well, all of these other metrics are fairly weak still, though, Stephen. So I think you're right that the Fed, I think they lose all credibility they've got left with the markets if indeed they don't make the move. But there were many folks, of course, after these attacks that thought the likelihood of them making a move was smaller now because of the attacks themselves. But as you say, the muted response out of the markets perhaps does give the Fed that room to make the move in December.
All right, John, hit me with a stock tip for today.
Okay. Well, we definitely like Mattel, M-A-T. A lot of call buying in this stock. Calls are upside bets on the stock going higher. This is a toy maker. M-A-T is, of course, that most of us are familiar with, and we bought more of that for clients today. The stock is up 5.8% now, but it was basically unchanged this morning and made a very nice upside pop.
All right, John Najeri, and you see him on CNBC. Follow him on Twitter at Option Monster. Great to talk to you again, John. Well, 22 on the Wintrust Business Lunch Tuesday afternoon. Steve Bertrand here. Louis Lazar is just around the corner. Louis writes about media issues, a lot of times about transportation as well, for the Chicago Business Journal. And we will kick around some spending and some changes at United Airlines. And also, he might sing an aria because we're going to talk about the opera. Speaking of singing arias, John Hansen from DNA Info is here for his swan song.
Oh, no, it's not a swan song. I'll still be around the halls, you know.
It's a bit of a swan song for us anyway. John's been on with me first on the Saturday Business Lunch, and then we just kind of got started here Monday through Friday, but comes from DNA Info, talks about businesses that are opening and closing, and you're closing a bit of your career and opening a new one. So
yeah, I'm really excited about a new opportunity here in Chicago media, but I'm going to miss the fine folks at DNAinfo.com, of course, as always, and you're still going to be hearing a lot of them on WGN, I'm sure.
Yeah, okay, so fine, plug yourself. You can say, don't say another media outlet.
I'm going to a WCIU, their morning show, you and me. I'll be joining their team as a on-air guy.
You'll be squeezed between Gene Sparrow and
Melissa Forman, yeah, absolutely.
I know both of them, so say hello and good luck. You'll be great on that.
Thanks.
So
I appreciate that, Steve. Thank you.
And so if I were to write a Yelp review for you,
right,
it would be overwhelmingly positive.
Right, but there might be some negative ones out there, too.
Because you're looking at me. So so let's talk Yelp, because, you know, when a new business opens, a new restaurant especially, it seems like, they are really at risk of one or two negative Yelpers.
Oh, yeah. Well, just imagine how you every day now find out where you want to eat. Me and Brett, we just open up the phone, go to Yelp, and see what's the highest star thing near us. So a few bad Yelp reviews, one stars or two stars, can really bring a rating down, and then you might never even walk into a place with 2.5 or 3 stars. You might scoff at it. So Yelpers have been in the news lately here at DNAinfo.com. In Lakeview, at this place called Mortar and Pestle, which opened up at 3108 North Broadway at the beginning of the month, they had kind of a soft opening. And in the restaurant world, that's limited hours, limited dishes, maybe.
A lot of times friends and family.
Friends and family. They're just trying to get some people in the door and get used to the process of it. Well, when someone goes there and there's a long wait time, it might not be that that's going to be indicative of what the restaurant's like for years to come.
Right.
But if you put it on Yelp right away as a one-star rating because you get slow service, it could really mess with them.
It's kind of like a Broadway show opening here in Chicago.
Right.
I mean, it's not fair to judge judge the Broadway production mm-hmm. by how it opens here in Chicago.
Exactly. They're just getting their feet wet. So the two owners and runners of the shop, Stephen Paul and another Stephen, Stephen Ross, two Stephens run the same place, both spelled the same way as well. They said in their first week of business, they had some great Yelp reviews and they had some bad ones. And they said, look, they praised our fresh biscuits and gravy. Some praised our impeccable service, meticulous attention to detail, but some people weren't so happy about other things. And they say, look, can't you give us a little bit of a break? They don't necessarily think it's super fair, which is interesting. Do you look at Yelp to choose?
You know, when you said that you guys look at it right away, I really don't look at it right away.
Well, what did the people from the old days do, Steve? Why don't you enlighten us?
Well, I still go back to the Yellow Pages. So if the restaurant hasn't been there for 20 years, I don't even know about it.
From 1988 Yellow Pages, you know, that's where you go.
I'll go online and check the menu and everything, but I really don't look at Yelp very much because I don't trust those people.
Well, that's a good point you bring up because I was kind of Googling around how Yelp works before I came on, really doing some hard research. Uh-huh. And, they filter out some of the Yelp reviews. Like if you only make one Yelp review or if you just say yummy, yummy, 5 stars, which is basically what my Yelp review would be if it was someplace nice, they often don't let those go to the end. So some restaurants don't love the Yelp reviews in the initial thing. And go ahead, Steve.
It's Cantina 1910.
Yeah, Cantina 1910.
They embrace the whole thing.
They do in the Andersonville neighborhood. Actually, the Chicago Reader did a piece called Save Cantina 1910 from Ignorant Yelpers. One of their food critics there wrote about, you know, come on, people, let's give them a little bit of a break. We talked to them and they said, look, every person's entitled to their own opinion. Yelp and other sites provide a venue to voice opinions. So there were some reviews on Yelp for Cantina 1910 that said, where's the margaritas? I expected margaritas from more of a Mexican joint. So they said, okay, we don't have a whole list, but let's add a margarita. People were complaining that maybe the entree sizes weren't too big, so they made some that were a little bit bigger. So they say, look, the good reviews and the bad reviews are just fine. We're going to take it, not with a grain of salt, I guess, with a grain of salt around the rim.
Herb of salt, right. So it is opening a business in the 21st century. Something you have
absolutely
to do. All right, I said earlier when I was on with Wendy that we were going to talk about the Stuffle. So
yes,
give me a minute of the Stuffle. It's this new restaurant, the Baker Miller Bakery. They've had
a location on Western Avenue where it's almost like a test kitchen. They do sell bakery goods, but they're mainly known for selling grains, like these great grains. And because of the fact they sell like these local grains, they got this they got pigeonholed as a couple of health food bakers,
right?
And they say, I mean, we have healthy stuff, but we also have tons of bad things, including this Stuffle, a stuffed waffle that's going to be at their new location right off the Western Brown Line stop in the Ravenswood Manor neighborhood. So they saw that their test kitchen was doing so well. People would love to stop on in, buy something. This new place that they're opening up, they just kind of saw it on Craigslist. They wanted a great location. You just stop in, pay a few bucks, get something to leave. Not even a place to sit down.
There is so much to eat, John Hanson.
not enough time.
Hey, listen, great to talk to you again. And really, good luck at WCIU.
Thank you. We'll
be watching you in the morning.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
John Hanson of DNAinfo.com. But not for very much longer. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Kim Gordon there with a number of stories, one involving an airline where someone apparently... Kim, did they rush the cockpit or was it just...
It looked like it was just one person, Steve, and now we are getting word that plane has landed safely in Boston.
And but they did rush the cockpit.
Yes, one passenger tried to break into the cockpit.
And then
trouble
at a soccer game?
Trouble at a soccer game in between Germany and the Netherlands in Hanover, Germany. I guess the stadium is being evacuated. We haven't gotten word why yet at this point, and the game has been canceled.
Well, the thing is, you know, sadly, we've lived through this before, and in the days after the September 11th attack, there's hypervigilance and hypersensitivity.
Absolutely.
And so
people
many
are on
things.
Edge.
People on edge. There was one in Baltimore with a flight earlier today that very often they turn out to not be the risk that they seem to be. People are just, scared. They're scared.
And then we also have the risk of copycats following something like this as well.
But mostly, I think, it's true. But I think people are just afraid right now, and we're just going to have to wait that out. Louis Lazar is here from the Chicago Business Journal, and Louis is not afraid. He bravely walked through the rain with a cold.
And here I am.
To come and join us. Thank you. We talk a lot about airlines, and so, you know, the airlines have been doing pretty well of late, right? And this wasn't an airline attack, but I would imagine it's the sort of thing that they're very much on edge about.
Oh, I think, yeah, you're going to see going to Europe, things are going to be sharply curtailed. I mean, people are going to think twice, do I really want to get over there and then have something happen like this again at another capital in Europe? It's a nightmare, and I think it's going to work both ways. Coming from Europe and going to Europe, people are going to ask a million questions before they set foot.
And yet, there before that, you wrote a couple of stories about United Airlines, and one is... Well, a couple of them. One, they're trying to find a new coffee.
Which I have an update on being posted very shortly. It's rather interesting.
Well, share it with us. Tell us the story. Can you scoop yourself?
I don't want to. Let me just say there's more to those coffee grounds and the changes that are in the offing than was first apparent yesterday, because I've heard from some additional sources that have helped elaborate on the saga as we know it at this point. So it should be up on my site,
site. They were using the Chicago Business Journal, and you should check out Lewis because he only writes 3 or 4 stories a day.
Only.
Yeah. But the idea was that United had picked up a coffee that had been used by US Air, right?
And then
they
were Continental.
Continental, which
was Jeff Smizak's former airline.
And then they're going to come upon a new one because apparently people have been complaining.
And that plays a big factor in the subsequent follow-up that I've got to that that's coming out today.
Well, I'll have to have people check that out then, because as far as I know, I was going to talk about silly taste tests among passengers.
But they're still a factor, but an interesting thing about coffee on board airlines, you know, a lot of what you taste has to do, first of all, with altitude and the fact that you're getting water out of water tanks that it could have been loaded on in any number of airports around the world, and it's different in every place, of course.
And different in every plane, too.
Right.
But the other thing that struck me that you wrote about this week is that United is spending, you know, we talk about the cash-strapped airlines, or used to be, they're spending $100 million to upgrade their business passenger lounges.
Right.
Around the country.
Right.
That's a big coin, Lewis.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is, as much as stressful as airline travel has become now, people really need these little places to sort of decompress and get ready for what's come or what they've just gotten off of. So I think this is considered a key part of airline travel.
But come on, now, I've never been in one. Maybe I have been one or two times, but these are for the high-paying flyers.
I mean, they've upped the cost of membership to these clubs substantially over the past several years to help fund these millions, tens of millions of dollars in upgrades that they're doing. But, you know, I fly Southwest most frequently, so they don't have any lounges like this. So I can't say that I personally have had that pleasure myself. But for people on business expense accounts, it's a justifiable expense and one they're quite willing to pay.
Now you're talking. It's not to do with the stress of sitting in business class.
No.
It's the ability to have the wherewithal to pay for it. Speaking of paying for things, Macy's downtown announced this week that they're looking to repurpose maybe their 12-story old Marshall Field's flagship store. Now, I've been around long enough to know that when you read an opening to the door like that, that is probably going to mean the beginning of the end of something.
Yeah, they were downplaying it in the initial announcement last week, but I've long learned, and you too, where there's smoke, there's fire, and I think by the time this quote-unquote redevelopment has happened, Macy's will play little or no part in that building, which is an iconic part of Chicago's history. I mean, everybody knew that from its Marshall Field era, and to have that go away as a retail outlet is pretty traumatizing.
But in a way, it's kind of an anachronism too, isn't it? I mean, it's a 12-story giant downtown department building. Who shops there anymore?
It's definitely a challenge, but I mean, if Macy's had the deep enough pockets and the willingness to really rethink the whole thing and come up with something that would be a magnet for tourists and locals, and tourists are a key part of it because mostly they're on North Michigan Avenue, so it would require a significant investment of thought, creativity, and money to really turn it into something special, and I don't think anybody's got the appetite.
You were at the tree lighting ceremony not too long ago. How'd that go?
Well, it was an empty store. The store was empty. This was around 5 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon. You could have shot cannons through the place. And after this coming shortly after I was at that, you could sort of see why they're making the announcement. But it's sad because I really think something could happen there if everybody got together.
It's an interesting thing you say about, you know, bringing people down there, because it seems, you know, I'm a little disappointed that the city has moved its Christmas tree out of the loop and now into Millennium Park. I mean, that used to be a destination, too, that'd bring people into the windows and the tree, and it seems like they're moving people away.
Well, it's this ongoing challenge. The loop, they talk about revitalizing the loop, but when you really get right down to it, not a lot has changed in the last 10 or 15 years.
Latinicity?
Right.
How is that?
Well,
it's a big place. Tell us, I should say, it's sort of like Italy, but it's in Block 37
with
a Latin theme.
Well, I have to say I was impressed with the decor. They certainly spent a pretty penny outfitting it with all these different kiosks for different kind of Latin cuisines. So it's an inviting place to go to, but will people be interested enough to go up several floors at this empty Block 37 to find it? It's gonna require a big marketing push, I think, to
right.
keep
so
it afloat.
Right, so I guess we didn't design to talk about it, but we're talking about the problems of the Loop a little bit today. Maybe we should turn State Street into a mall.
Seems like we've been there once before, and I'm not sure that's going to be the solution either.
We could name it after Jane Byrne, because we've named a number of things after her.
The problem is there's been such a push to make North Michigan Avenue the hot spot of Chicago. It's very hard for others to get into that.
Yeah, and no more and more people are living downtown. They're certainly building a lot of apartments downtown.
Right.
I hope those places survive. It'd be tough to bring back the wig stores and the stereo shops. Remember the 70s and 80s?
Yeah, as I keep reminding people, we're entering a whole new era come January 1st with all these new taxes and fees that Mr. Emanuel is putting in place to help keep the city out of bankruptcy.
Louis Lazar from the Chicago Business Journal, thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. It's 12:52. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Steve Bertrand in on this Tuesday afternoon, this gloomy Tuesday afternoon. But hold on, because there could be snow around the corner, and snow around the corner means Christmas is just down the lane. $630.5 billion. That's what they expect holiday spending to be coming up. After the holiday season, once they add things all up. And a lot of that starts on Black Friday. Jill Gonzalez is here from Wallet Hub to talk about Black Friday, what's ahead, and maybe what's new is old again. Jill, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me back, Steve.
All right, so how about that? The idea is that these new fresh sales are available every year, and I know that you guys looked at it, and it might not be all that new or all that fresh.
Yeah, we saw that retailers are repeating about 1 in 10 deals this year from 2014, and not necessarily all at a better rate. So we saw, depending on where you go, I mean, Big Lots had the most repetition here, almost 17%. Costco, Best Buy are also up there. Whereas Staples, JCPenney, Walmart, they have most newer deals, only about a 5% repetition rate. But the average price difference on repeated deals, that's where the real difference comes into play. We said Big Lots, a lot of those repeated deals average 5% more expensive than last year.
Oh, that's interesting. So you can buy the same bad beanbag chair for your kids at Big Lots this year that you could last year, but it's going to cost you 5% more.
Exactly. So they're kind of onto the fact that the economy is on the up, that people are ready to spend. That number that you said in the beginning, over $630 billion, that's actually up 4% than last year's Black Friday sales is what's projected. So people know that everyone wants to spend money. If you go to a place like Best Buy, a lot of the same deals, but almost 10% cheaper than last year.
So, obviously stores are in the business to make money. And if we're making more money at home, then we have more money to spend at places like Big Lots. But the consumer price index we just talked about went up 0.2% last month. It certainly hasn't gone up 5% over the past year, right? People who get Social Security know that. They didn't get any cost of living increase this year.
Exactly. So really not keeping up with what's going on in the economy per se, more so looking at trends, looking at people's mindset instead of their actual wallets.
So have you looked at which stores are the best when it comes to Black Friday discounts? I mean, are you more likely to save money, say, at Kohl's than you would at Macy's or Kmart or anything like that?
Yeah, you're basically right on the money. So we looked at 30 top U.S. retailers. The best that we saw were JCPenney, Kohl's, Groupon now, it's kind of its own merchant. Macy's is up there. JCPenney, the average discount is almost 70%. Kohl's, more like 67%. Macy's, 56%. The average discount this year, after we scoured 8,000 different deals, is 40%. So if you are out on Black Friday, or really that whole weekend now is what it's turned into, if you see a discount that's less than 40% off, probably don't go for it. You can find that better somewhere else.
Are you a big Black Friday shopper?
I am always a Cyber Monday girl.
Are you?
Black Friday is not what it once was, right? We've seen deals going on since November 1st.
Well, that's a really interesting thing you bring up because, you know, it seems like we often shoot ourselves in the foot when it comes to traditions. And there was this great Black Friday tradition that sort of squeezed into Thanksgiving shopping. And, you know, we see a little bit of a backlash with REI this year. But I've noticed, as you said, that more and more of these retailers are, you know, scooping themselves when it comes to Black Friday by selling the things already. You can buy a lot of what's available on Black Friday. You can go to a shop today and buy it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think from a competition standpoint, if one of your biggest competitors starts selling on Thursday night, then you want to beat them to sell Thursday morning. And a lot of people have backlashed against it. I think REI, like you said, was the biggest this year, and they're hoping that people respect them on more of a moral standpoint. I mean, from everything we've seen thus far, whether it's a Starbucks outlash or what, people seem to be going back to their morals, if that's what we want to call it. So I think that REI will gain some respect. And again, when so many people are now shopping online for the same deals, waiting till Cyber Monday, not even leaving their house anymore on Black Friday, they might not have that big of a loss.
Jill Gonzalez from Wallet Hub talking to us today, an analyst there. Listen, thanks very much for joining us. I look forward to the next time.
Thank you. Happy shopping.
Happy shopping. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch.